speaking about Titsang's intimacy, Jizo's nearness, a number of points came up to clarify. So I want to talk about practice and what I will call provisional efforts that become necessary, because despite intimacy being the most close, it is after all this life that we are, sometimes there are provisional efforts we have to make. Bodhisattva's vow, in the English version that we use, when I, a student of the way, look at the real form of the universe. In the original Japanese, it doesn't say student of the way, or another translation puts it student of Dharma. The way, Dharma, the ongoing change, teaching of Buddha that is exactly Buddha nature. In fact, probably doesn't have the I, but when looking at the real form of the universe, in a way, better than looking at, I would say, when zazening, then the real form of the universe is exactly this life that we manifest. All is the never-failing manifestation of the mysterious truth of, we say, the awakened life. In the original, it's the Tathagata, or the Tathagata, thus come, thus gone, this life that we are. But what is this looking at the real form of the universe is zazening. What is zazening? See, we sometimes say, I do zazen. That's already not quite accurate. Though we begin with I do zazen, if I say it, the more we enter our zazen, the more zazen. Of course, that's very clumsy. And difficult to quite get. But even better, I would say, it's zazening. Zazening is our practice. And zazening isn't limited to sitting. If we're zazening, we zazen sitting, we zazen walking, we zazen talking to people, we zazen the difficulties we have with our car or our work, then our embracing the intimacy of difficulties, of talking, experiencing, is just this real form of the universe, which it always is, except that we miss it when, to use the phrase, caught in self-centeredness. So, provisionally, sometimes it's necessary in our practice, and specifically in when we're sitting, to make certain efforts because of what arises, whether it's physical pain, physical resistance to certain states, physical resistance to emotional states or to thoughts, or emotional resistance. Of course, I'm using these general terms. But in sitting, we know when something is, if I'll use the word, hard to be, something we react to, I don't want this, hurts too much, I don't feel like this. And it could be, as I said, to physical, mental, emotional, all sorts of states that arise as our present moment. And it could be other forms. It doesn't have to be, I don't want to be. Sometimes it's being fascinated and wanting to play with it in different ways and think about it, or other forms, and we can talk about that. So it's important for us to be clear on how, what sort of practice we can do to embrace, to be the intimacy of, let us say, what's physically painful to see, be, whether it's an ache, whether it's a condition that is just the condition of my body at this moment, whether, as I said, it's an emotional state, a set of memories and feelings. It's almost as if we have to direct our energy to include it. We, of course, can allow breathing to direct us to include it. We could allow and use our blood vessel and blood pumping, if we sense that when we're sitting, some of us do, to extend there. Even though it is extending there, sometimes it isn't extending there. Whether it's with fearful, we're rejecting, we're all various other ways that it's difficult to encompass and be the intimacy of this aching knee or this internal organ as it is, or, and then I'll let you, this ache about someone who's said something to me or hasn't said something to me or has done something, or so breathing can be one way to extend ourselves to it. Of course, we're not really extending ourselves, but this is provisional ways of, in a sense, noticing and then experiencing. So fundamentally, just can say experiencing, and there's nothing to do, because experiencing is your life. You don't do experiencing. When you go, I'm experiencing, we're already adding a story of this I, and we're making experiencing into some other object. Just as intimacy is just this, knowing intimacy, not knowing intimacy. That's what the poem said. The abundance or scarcity of the house, you use it well, responding to circumstances and conditions. So there are many ways. I've mentioned a few that we can provisionally see the need for and make the effort of extending our presence, extending our zazen, extending zazening to being the real form of the universe, the real form which is exactly form, which is exactly empty. Empty is nothing but form. And yet, we find ways to avoid this, which is why Zazening is so vital. We avoid this thus come, thus gone, and we miss the life that we are. Okay, my point this afternoon is to explore this in a way that's useful and supportive to our practice. So it's less that I want to start out with, but more to explore it in ways that are appropriate. As I said, this has come up with some, but who knows who else might find some value or use in clarifying this. And you might have interesting things to share in your own practice to clarify this fundamental zazening, seeing, looking the real form of the universe in any event, in any moment, in any place. None can be other than the marvelous revelation of the Tathagata, of the thus come, thus gone, awakened life right here, this Buddha nature ongoing change, that somehow we find ways to resist and avoid, especially if we hold to self-centered, or let me say it differently, especially if we add on self-centeredness to the arising thoughts, feelings, emotions, conditions, that's when it becomes something that blinds us rather than simple arising, passing. Okay. I think this is enough. I'll probably say more, but it's enough right now to spark us to clarify this together. So I'll stop now and see who wants to start or not. If you're brave and share, you're supporting the practices of others. Of course, this means possibly exposing what's hard for you to expose. But, Jeff?
There was a coffee shop in town here.
Jeff, one moment. If you need to change positions, please do. And I will turn towards various ones just because of my eye. Not seeing with one eye means I have to strain sometimes in certain directions, and it's better for me to turn. Okay.
Yeah, there's a coffee shop in town that often they have tip jars and things like that. Often just says tips. This one said, I'm trying to remember for sure, if you are uncomfortable with change, please leave us some of yours here. And, you know, it's one of those things that sounds sort of flippant, but it goes right to the core of, I mean, there's a lot of truth to that. If I look at my own life, and my body is changing, and I look at myself in the mirror, I see something, oh my God, you know, there's something there that wasn't there yesterday. What is that? What does it mean? And what's happening to me? And you know that the teaching is that it's nothing but change. That is our life. It's, if you sum it up in a word, it's just ongoing change. And yet I feel uncomfortable with it. So
yeah,
there you go.
And when you say, I'm uncomfortable with it, or, oh my God, I'm changing, or it's almost like we're pulling away from this very moment, body changing that's in the way that it's manifesting. Or I'm uncomfortable is a way of self-centering manifesting, if I say it that way. Not that the arising of uncomfortable, but what we do in reaction to it, which is why, in a sense, we need the provisional counter extending ourselves into the change. So when we notice the change, it's almost like that's an opportunity to bodily or body mind zazen ourselves into including that change, in extending our intimacy, if I say it in such a crude way, into that change as ourself, including the oh my God about it or whatever else.
I've heard that sort of provisional, just what you're expressing, I've heard it expressed as leaning into,
okay,
slightly, just holding that notion of leaning into whatever it is that maybe we are leaning away from.
Right. It's there is no need to lean into it because you can't be not it. And yet, we can lean away from it. We can be caught in the self-centeredness, or catch ourselves in, or enter into the self-centeredness and grab onto it, and therefore have to counter that. See? So, yes. If we can leave us your change. Interesting. Leave yourself your change. Give yourself your change. Not in terms of the tips, but yes. Give yourself to your change. Or give yourself to the changing. Because you've removed yourself because of the changing. So you have to give yourself back to the changing. And sometimes it's very visceral. It's very clear because the reaction to it, if we're present, if we're sensitive, and especially in sitting, we can sometimes either sense it internally or even, well, different ways. I don't want to say too much how, because if I say how, I would be saying how I might, but it might be different for you. In fact, for each of us, it's different. We are each doing our own zazening, and yet it's not different, because what we're doing is this commonness that we all share, and yet we each share it through our own experience, our own eyes, nose. That's why we have to do zazen for ourselves. Otherwise, the Buddha could have done it and done it for everyone, and it will be done. In a way, one expression of Buddha's awakening is that, not that did it for everyone, but that I and all beings of the great earth have together attained the way. One expression. Nevertheless, because of delusion and attachment, we miss what we are. Okay. Loba?
Yeah, you often also speak of the allowing, mm-hmm, allowing zazen to sit zazen, allowing, mm-hmm, the functioning of our life to. I have an example of that. Just yesterday morning, as I was leaving the house to come here for early morning sitting, I was getting ready to leave the front door, and something I don't usually do, but this yesterday I did. I looked out. There was a little bit of glass in our front door, otherwise it's wood, but there's just a little bit of glass, and I looked out to just I don't know why, it was just looking out, and then I saw that there was an unknown to me person lying on the couch on the rattan seat on our front porch, and it was dark and the light wasn't, I couldn't turn on the light. So, and then Jeff helped and all of that, but what was just beautiful to me is that the functioning of life is taking care of this moment. So yeah. I don't usually look out through that window to see if there's anything or whatever. So, but in that moment, it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that was just another reminder. So the functioning of life, if we can allow that, we can be present with it, that there is a wisdom that guides and that supports.
Okay. Musaki, did you want to say something?
Well, I was just thinking of the term, the basic term zazen. I guess I think of zazen as meditation, but zazen is being present. Why, in meditation or in any other part of our lives? Is that what you mean by zazen, when we're zazen-y?
Zazen literally means sitting zen. So, zazen, but it's not when we're zazening, it's zazening. It's zazen zazening, if I say it that way. The meditation, fine, is an English word, except I don't always like it because people have all sorts of ideas of what meditation is, and they hear you say the word and they assume it means what they have in mind, and there's a whole host of things in our culture and in English that are called meditation which are very different. I mean, each of these fingers could be called meditation, but you need to be clear on which one. And so saying zazen is good. Saying zazen, zazen, zazen is good. Clarify something else. Saying zazening is another. So, yes, you need a cushion and to be sitting to do zazen. And yes, there's zazening from morning to night. And yes, you want to say zazen is meditation? Great. Many, many ways you could use it. As long as we don't get caught in our ideas. So if it's useful to tell people, come, I'm doing zazen meditation, great. And if you look at Dogen's writing, Dogen Zenji's got many different places where he talks about zazen. But talking about it is just a pointer, an encouragement for us to do for ourselves. Then the words lead us up to the gate, so to speak, but we have to go in. So when asked, what are you doing with zazen, Master says, I think not non-thinking. What's that? Non-thinking. And Dogen quotes that. Of course, that was said in Chinese, not in English. And then Dogen put it into Japanese and sort of gave it another little twist. Or, no, I shouldn't say that. I think Fukan Zazengi's written in Chinese. I'm not sure. I we'll leave it. But anyway, he gave it a little twist in his way of expressing it. But again,
the only way I know how to zazen is to particularly on the cushion, to notice my breath as much as I can, mm-hmm. and that also off the cushion.
Yeah. Be breathing. See, noticing the breath is good, and then see if you could take a step further of giving the noticing to the breathing. So if you want to say noticing, let the breathing notice breathing.
I want to keep it simple.
Good. So just be breathing.
Thank you.
Yes. Kim.
Can you say something about the zazen of doing the dishes when there's a big pile and you really don't want to do them and it's not your turn, damn it, anyway?
Well, you've got a lot of things to enter. I really don't want to do it, doing. And damn it, doing. So you include the damn it, and, you know, in a sense, see, if we viscerally can sense the damn it, or I don't want to do it, and it's not fair, we can include that very visceral energy in the doing the dishes, whether it's with hands or putting them in the dishwasher or whatever. See, that's the, in a sense, leaning into, as the phrase, that's the breathing into the that space, moving our energy into that. I can't say more, because the more I explain, the more you think, oh, there's a specific way. But you have to find the way that's appropriate in the moment by first being able to sense this pulling back from it that you call, it's not fair and it's not my turn, damn it. Because we sense that, but that also, in that very sensing of that, there's a certain pulling self-centeredness that's occurring. So we have, there's almost, you could say, the provisional requirement to go into that self-centeredness with by experiencing it, the very self-centeredness, body, mind, and using that, so to speak, to do the dishes. And it's for each of us, and for various situations, going to be what's the appropriate response in this, as this body, mind, universe that I am at the moment, which there is no formula, and yet we're all perfectly capable of it, because it's the most intimate thing that is our life. That's why when I, a student of the way, look at the real form of the universe, that means the real form of my life. All is the never failing manifestation. All of the ways I'm manifesting are the never failing manifestation of this, I'll say, mysteriousness that is, you want to call it Buddha nature? Fine. You want to call it our life? Fine. You want to call it the awakened way? Fine. Or just live this. See? This is to use a different kind of word, is appreciating this moment that we are, which is just being ordinary, doing dishes. And yet we have to sometimes lean into it, sometimes breathe into our hands so that we can do it, because of how much we want to pull back and say, "Arr! Not me, not now, not these." So, and I'm open to hearing what any of you find useful in doing this, or find difficult in this, because that's what this is about. Yeah, Heidi.
When you live alone, you got to do the dishes. You can't blame it on anybody else. You can't get real upset about it because they're just going to, you know, pile up. What I see myself doing is thinking about not wanting to do it. Takes more energy than just go do it.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I've met people who live alone and manage not to do it for extended periods of time. Well, I've met and heard of such. I don't know if any, maybe I'm the rare, all the people who don't do it come to me, and every, no one else has ever encountered this. But
Bella won't do it.
Well, but they're still managing not to do it, and
yeah,
if it's required, maybe I'll brush a little one off, one of them off a little bit so that I could use it, but I'm not going to deal with all
of it. Or I'll do it in the morning, you know. I'll stack them up.
Yes.
So what I've noticed is that when I'm sitting on the cushion and the kitchen is quiet and the list, I have no list to run through my mind, I'm not going to worry about, not going to be angry about or happy about, when all of that is missing, so to speak, it gets, I keep using the word bored. it's just, I recoil from it. And I found, I tried, it's interesting, because I can try and deep breathing and feel that there's nothing, I can manage it for, you know, because I'm sitting, so I don't have time, for a short period of time, and that is just,
okay, good, good. Then see if you can let a little of yourself into the recoiling, since it is, you know, allow the experiencing of recoiling. If that's what's there, then experience recoiling. Experience. Fine. The problem isn't with the recoiling. It's the problem that we believe and have to and react from that recoiling to whatever. In all sorts of circumstances, that the recoiling arises. It arises. It's, in a way, I'll say, Zazen is becoming intimate with boredom, because it appears. Not necessarily, but for some people it appears. And then some people say, oh, I never get bored. That would be great if I got to be bored. But it, and it's the finding, and I'll say doing, of what's called for based on how this life zazening is now for me. Because only you can do it. And it's in a particular manifesting right now that isn't the way it was yesterday, or won't be the way it is tomorrow, or maybe is. Could be that persistently every time you sit Zazen, after a while you feel this throbbing in your back, and you always want to run, or this deep burning memory that you always want to run away from. Or could be something that's never appeared before and you don't know where it came from. We are all our own practice opportunities which manifest in the particular ways. But the point is that I want to emphasize is that it's for us to find the effort that's called for to enter into it, to include it, embrace it, or to open to it, whether it's inside or outside. Inside or outside means, of course, our Zazen is this body, but it's also this floor and wall and all the other people and the cars outside and the noise that we like or don't like, and the heat and the sweating, or the it's so cold in here, or yes.
I like going to estate sales and garage sales.
Yes.
And when we think a little bit about, I think the reason you go there is because something's changed. Maybe someone's died, or they're moving, and they need to get rid of things. And so I think the whole, there's something going interesting about going into someone's place, and their stuff has a kind of feeling about it almost. Anyway, I was at an estate sale recently, right? Collect records, vinyl records, and one was music for Zen meditation.
Ah.
And so I thought this was pretty interesting. You know, there's a Buddha on it. I thought the music's probably pretty esoteric and interesting. I got a couple other records, and I had it for about a week in my place. I was like, oh, I'll put this Zen record on. And I looked in the sleeve, and there was no record. And I thought, what a great I want this record. I want to hear this record.
Right.
There's no record.
Unfortunately, the record was gone. But you get to see all that happens when you don't have the record. But in a way, there probably is something called music. You could probably look it up even on the internet and find out what it was. However, if there's a music that's helpful when you need it to help you sit, fine. But don't use it regularly. And we shouldn't have an idea that no record is the music for Zen meditation. I would say every music is the music for Zen meditation. But I don't even have to have music. And we have this music that's always occurring as the music for our Zazen. And yet, there's some musics that we're not ready for. So, we can't sit Zazen if there's too much chatter, or we can't sit Zazen if there's Beatles music or Bob Dylan or who knows who, then you're going to get an earworm. Of course, I'm dating myself. You could pick whoever you want. Lady Gaga or whatever. So you also learned a lesson that look in the sleeves before you buy. Good story. So, yes, Jeff.
Alright. So I have a neurodegenerative disease problem, and it's screaming at me a lot of the time.
What do you mean screaming at you?
The symptoms.
Well, so be more specific. What specific symptom are you having difficulty with?
Severe pain in the arms.
Okay, good. So you have pain, and it's very difficult to be with pain. And in a way, there's a bodily reason for that. And of course, you and I have talked about the fact that you have and are consulting your doctor about the pain and about the medications connected to it. And yet, at the same time, when the pain is tolerable and can be worked with, breathing with and into the pain is a useful effort on your and on our part. That isn't a substitute for addressing it medically or in other ways. And that's not a substitute for possibly taking medication that can help relieve the pain. So there's no need to create pain or go looking for our pains in order to have something to sit with. And yet, when the pain is there, especially when it isn't responding to anything, it's if we can, sometimes our effort has to be to extend our breathing into the pain. That doesn't mean be masochistic. It doesn't mean not do other things, but when it's possible for us to use our breath and use our attention attending to it with our zazen mind, zazening energy, including breath, including what we call experiencing, which is being ourself, in a sense extending yourself to include it to the extent you can tolerate it. And use the supports. So not only when you're sitting, but use walking. As I said to some of you, walking, especially after in this afternoon period, after this time is open sitting, and you could walk the whole time. And if that is helpful for you, walking zazen, walking zazening, it sometimes enables us to embrace what's hard otherwise to embrace. Sometimes supports and nurtures us when otherwise we might be caught up in reactions to particular conditions that occur. Please consult with your doctor. Please do that and see what he or she has to say that can be useful to help those.
And it's difficult sometimes being in touch with the doctor.
Yeah.
It's a difficult situation.
Yes, it is. So sometimes I don't know whether you can do it, but I sometimes have texted and emailed with my medical professionals and had gotten very quick responses when I couldn't get a person, and yet I could get a person virtually. So but we can talk about this individually when it's appropriate.
I know I'm like a broken record. That has the record in its sleeve.
Cindy.
One of the things that I use sometimes, well, a lot of the time, is to just really pay attention to hearing. In addition to breathing, there's something about putting my attention on hearing that often can break that self-centered stream of thoughts in a way for me that's different from breathing, and even not just in sitting, but I don't know, if I'm on my way to class and I find myself feeling scattered or whatever, I will do that. Or sometimes at night, if I have difficulty going to sleep or wake up in the middle of the because of these sort of ongoing thoughts, I find that helpful to me.
Mm.
And I have to say, there's your story about the estate sale. I experienced that from the other side this summer with my mom's house, and it never occurred to me that people looked at an estate sale in that way. My experience was a lot of times more like what Kim talked about with the dishes. I don't want to do this, and damn it, why do I have to? And I kept setting deadlines. Okay, by this day, we'll be through. You know, my parents have lived in this house for 30 years, and so it was up to me to go through everything. And, you know, it kept taking longer and longer, and then when it was finally time for the estate sale and the people came in and set it up, and I thought, then, oh, now it's going to be over. And Andy and I went over there at the end of the second day, and here was all this stuff still left. And I could just feel my heart drop. What are we going to do with this? And it just kept going on and on, and I would see how that clinging on to, I want this to be over, just was where the suffering came from. The actual doing, it wasn't pleasant, but it needed to be done, that just arose over and over and over again.
Mm. Since you raised hearing or listening, there's listening so-called to things outside, and there's also listening inside. And the more we explore listening, the many varied aspects of listening we can discover. I don't want to say too much, because that just directs us to saying this is the direction to go as opposed to that, and it's more an exploration of the whole being listening with ears, listening with eyes, listening with whole body mind, listening so-called inside as well as so-called outside. So yes, the willingness to be listening is already a major step in practice.
That helpful as well. The traffic is also a helpful friend in a way. But sometimes I find that thinking about it instead of just listening to it, So we talk about the observer. Sometimes it's helpful just to be able to observe, but sometimes I find that you talked about exposing yourself. So sometimes I notice that I'll just get angry. Like there's a certain anger energy that comes up, and it's hard to sometimes, go into that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I never do it. Sometimes I can be listening, just noticing But sometimes there's that, I don't know, it's almost like I have to say it, sometimes lately in particular, I've noticed almost the blind, how it blinds me to what's happening.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned about missing life. And when I'm caught up in those thoughts, of course, then I realize, wait, I just missed whatever else was happening, whatever else was, you know, going on.
Noticing is a step before listening. Noticing is a part A to then, in a sense, flip into listening. Listening is the experiencing. Noticing is labeling for a moment or noting for a moment. But that's just a part A to then the experiencing of listening. Listening isn't I'm listening, it's being listening. It's enter into the listening, giving ourselves away to listening, entering into the even the anger. Be listening anger. See, when we anger is a reaction to our thought or feeling about A, B, C, D, whatever. But in a sense, that's the step of self-centered removing. That's the step of holding to, as opposed to the throwing ourselves into the pool of listening, if we say it that way. So we don't, as I said, you don't just listen with ears, listen with whole body, listen with whole body mind, if I say it in that way. Of course we start with ears, or with hearing aids if we need that. But then we go on. See, then listening is the whole of our being. There isn't anything else, and there isn't anyone listening, and there's nothing that we're listening to. It's just listening.
I just thought, I've been doing some swimming in Lake Michigan this mm-hmm. summer, and you could call it listening, call it whatever it is, but I feel really open and alive. There's the sky and the water, it's just incredible. And but I need the lake to do it.
Fine.
It's quite magical, and it stays with me for most of the day.
So use the lake as a support, and when you're going towards it, know that you're going walking to the lake or driving to the lake to do it. So already you could begin before you go into the lake. Then when you're in the lake, fine, and then when you go out of the lake, continue, and then you'll discover that the lake is there, wonderful. The lake's not there, fine. Walking down the hall in the Matha, it'll be the same lake of the universe that you're there. So we use every support we can and need, and that the universe will keep providing us, but we need to make the use of those and then continue nurturing it, and or continue making the effort, or continuing noticing. But remember, noticing is part A, in a sense, as Joko once said, to then flip, pop into the present moment. Noticing is to then pop into experiencing. What is the phrase? Stop and pop. So noticing is to stop and then to pop into the moment. Of course, you can't pop into the moment because you are in the moment. And yet, we have to sometimes say that to ourselves. Because, despite the fact we are, we seem to not be. We seem to want to exclude and decide this, not this, not this, not these dirty dishes, when no one else has been doing them for all these days, or whatever. Okay, last one.
It's okay.
I lost track because I had to change the battery, so I no longer know how long it is, but it feels like it's been going for a long time. So
I'll need to splice. I remember that. This listening thing, I think, is important. Listening has always been an important aspect of my life, maybe because of music.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn how to really listen to music, but there's other kinds of listening as well. Yesterday, mm-hmm. I misstepped. I tried to step before I stepped or something.
Mm-hmm.
I sprained my left ankle, and as pain shot, and I thought, Dan, this is going to ruin my session. But fortunately, I was paying attention,
mm-hmm.
and I heard that, and it was funny. This is going to ruin my session. How could you ruin your session?
Mm-hmm.
Especially with a painful ankle. That is your session.
Yeah.
Painful ankle.
Yeah.
This is a session.
And that'll
we do that all the time, I think.
Yeah.
We know, oh, I didn't, this is not what I want to eat. This is not, you know, I don't like this. This messes up my session. If I could get what I want to eat, if I could sleep better at night, or if I could
mm-hmm.
go to bed sooner in the evening, I would have a better session. Yeah. It would be a good session.
Certainly with a hurting ankle, hopefully it's not too much so that you can walk. It encourages and supports us to be each step presence.
So you notice your steps.
you be your steps. You give yourself away to your stepping, and you don't step and at the same time be chattering in your mind and miss the walking.
Well, it's very easy to not be paying attention. I mean, it's natural.
It seems natural.
It seems natural.
Yeah.
Good choice there. To not be paying attention and to believe the story. This is, now this session sucks because my ankle's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it might be.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you all. Let us continue.